tuned in to the Red Pill Hardcore Double Dosage After Show. Double Dosage After Show. After Show. After Show.
After Show.
Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. We are here for the Double Dosage After Show, and I do believe we have Melvin Punch joining us.
Yes, good evening, everyone. Hey, welcome back, Will. Nice to see you, hear from you again.
Good evening.
And we have Theo Booker on the line here with us. Is that correct?
One love, one people. What's going on, panel?
All right. Good to hear you. Good to hear you. So, yes, this is Will Turbitt. first choice for co-host for this radio show. I'm glad he is back. it's just the things that we go through. And Will's a young man, and again, he's gone through losing jobs and having a stigma of being a conspiracy theorist, or really a truther. And but these are things we have to go through. I mean, it's like growing pains. We all can't have our heads up our asses, okay? We all can't have our heads in the sand. There's going to be, you know, us awaken. And we have to do something because living is just uncomfortable. Because of what we know.
It ain't easy knowing what we know. Describing colors to the blind all day, is it? This is how I often put that. Is we have so many media, TV shows, movies and stuff, make us out to be lunatics. Or they'll have one guy that comes on, let's say, like that X-Files, and he tells it all. He tells the truth. And they just ridicule him, don't they? So that we get ridiculed by people when we challenge their paradigm, like pointing at a chemtrail and saying that's the chemtrail, or saying that no planes hit the towers. People, it just, they shut down, don't they?
Yeah, we challenge the narrative. And I want to briefly talk about the police officer that stated he was going to protect the citizens and protect their constitutional rights, and which is, yes, that's his job description. But that really, if that does not paint the picture for you, when someone proclaims they are going to do their job and they are harassed by their employer to not do their job and gets fired for threatening to do their job. This is a sick world, people.
Yeah, that really, huh? Really surprised me that that he was fired. It was all across the internet how he stood up for the Constitution, and he was saying that he wasn't going to enforce unlawful orders, that he was going to abide by the rules of the Constitution. That was splashed all across the internet for a couple of days. But about his firing, I didn't hear anything about that. That kind of took me off by surprise a little bit. But was
they
that
say he refused to take his comments down off his social media, so they sacked him?
Is that why? The 57 police officers resigned in solidarity? Was that what Will was talking about? Or was that two separate issues with the officers that resigned? Did they resign because he was fired? Or I only caught the tail end of that, but I did catch the comment he made about 57 police officers resigning in solidarity. And I think that was two separate issues, now that I recall. But those 57 police officers will be picked up, you know, by police forces all across the country, not because they, refused to obey an unlawful or unjust order, But because they resigned in solidarity like that, that's like he said, the thin blue line, that solidarity between the police officers is something that just can't be broken. They just will not give each other up. They will not, you know, testify against one another. They won't even stop one another from committing crimes. It's just,
that's the yeah, I know. You always hear about the good cops, but the good cops never turn into bad cops.
Never happens. That's a shame. Scary.
Well, and I hope this would be an example to other individuals in law enforcement. Don't declare that you're going to do your job. Just do your job. Okay? When time comes, we're going to need you wearing that uniform and that badge. So when you're there, your riot gear, blocking the people from doing their protest, you know, you can all just join the protest. And guess what?
For real.
That'll be a powerful protest. And possibly something can get changed. Okay?
It definitely would shake up the powers that be. If you see, you know, police officers, National Guardsmen, you know, laying down their weapons and joining the protesters like they've done in so many countries across the globe, where they've been protesting the unjust actions of their governments. These protests have been going on for years all across the globe, but now it seems like the sleeping giant that they call America has finally been awakened, and people are taken to the streets. But I'm surprised that we haven't seen a massive spike in our COVID sicknesses, people being exposed with all of these people out there like that. How come we haven't seen a major spike in the COVID, illnesses across the country? You haven't heard a peep about that in the media. So what's going on with that?
Because they lied to us.
They lied. Yes, you're right.
Absolutely.
Well, the hospitals are still empty. I know nurses are being laid off in mass. So, it's a really big hoax, okay?
Well, some lady from The Who, Maria Van Kerkhove, said that the asymptomatic spread of COVID, which means like when you're not showing symptoms, is very rare. Boy, did people latch on to that yesterday. And so The Who had to put out another statement, backpedaling on that statement, saying, well, there's just not enough data to prove that. Come on, we all know it. You can't tell me, you know, they limit how many people can go in a pub and how many people can gather together in a house, but then tell you it's okay for you to go protest, you know, even saying that's an official excuse to get out and go do stuff. It's like, come on. You even had the Dems and kneeling down wearing a kente on around their necks. Was it yesterday with pictures of Pelosi and them just taking advantage of a situation, which I'm sure I was curious what y'all's opinion was about that, because to me it seems a bit insulting for them to do what they did yesterday.
It is, you know. You see a lot of these politicians. You know, I was telling my wife, it's funny, like, you know, you don't really hear from these politicians or see them until election time. And then they show up to your house and show up on your social media feed promising you a pot of gold, a unicorn, and all types of stuff. But as soon as they get in office, nothing happens. Now, I want to ask the public, how many times are we going to go through this? How many times are we going to keep voting these people in the office and we get nothing out of it, nothing out of it? Because, you know, I know people that vote, right, and they feel like they don't get nothing out of their vote. So, you know, the time is, you know, what's going on around the world is actually awesome, you know, because to see people all around the world, like, you know, it's time to take a stance. It's not black people, white people, it's Asian people, people of all walks and religions, everybody out there, because people are fed up, man. I mean, even before this COVID-19 stuff, this 19 hoax and all this other stuff that's been going on, if you like really looked at some of your Facebook friends' feed, you know, a lot of them weren't happy. They wasn't happy with their lifestyle. They working hard, doing overtime. Some of them working two jobs. Some of them work, their jobs take so much out of their time, they very rarely even see their children. You know, so what's going on right now is people are just tired. People tired. People tired of living in misery. And like I said, if you keep a person so miserable, two things going to happen. They're going to kill themselves or they're going to try to kill you.
That's facts. What you were saying about the politicians, though, that's the guy's honest truth. And what most people don't realize is politicians, once they're elected, once they, you know, just before they take office, they have to swear an oath to the Constitution of the United States to protect it, to defend it. Same as police officers. They have to swear an oath to the Constitution. And anyone in the military also has to swear an oath to the Constitution. But it seems that once these people get their, you know, their positions, whether it be police officer or a politician, their oath to the Constitution goes right out the window. And I'd say if they swore an oath to that sacred document and they disregard their oath, they should either be fired immediately or imprisoned. Because, I mean, what greater thing do you have than, you know, to put your right hand to God and swear an oath to uphold and protect a set of, you know, a document that, you know, has it just laid out in black and white, which you can and cannot do, and just totally disregard it because it's profitable or it's convenient? That ain't right. That ain't right at all.
You're right.
And you're right.
Yes, sir.
That's true. Hey, Will, are you still there?
Maybe he has his mic
Hello?
Muted.
Yeah, Will's muted. Okay. Will, join us whenever you get the chance here.
Something else I noticed, too, and doing this every day with Auditing America, we go out and we literally look for police. So we can get I get a pretty fair gauge of, like, which officers know what's up. And you can kind of see when you go up to an officer, ask them, hey, how are you today? Thank you for your service. You know, I just wanted to ask you, how seriously do you take your oath to the Constitution? I would say about 85% bare minimum will just say, get out of here. I don't want to talk. I don't want to argue with you. Or brush you off. Then there'll be like a couple, I would say like probably like, then there's another 5% that'll say no comment. I would say that 2% or less will say that they take it very seriously. And then there's another percentage, which would probably be like maybe 1% or 2%, whatever the hell is left over because I suck at math, is basically you see a glaze go over their eyes when you talk about the Constitution. And I always try to bring up the founding fathers, our civil rights heroes, because that pulls on their nostalgic emotional heartstrings. I kind of use some Edward Bernays propaganda right back at them. And you can see that, you can see the gears going. Another thing that I always love to ask cops, which is funny too, I mentioned it earlier, when I see a cop with the Masonic ring, I ask them which oath do they take more seriously. But another question I ask these officers is, so I have the right to protest, correct? Yes. I have the right to freedom of speech. Yes. I have the right to swear and say anything I totally want. I have the First Amendment. Yes. So where does the First Amendment specifically stop, and when does disorderly conduct or disturbing the peace begin? And then you get the Windows 95 loading face, because there is no such thing as disorderly conduct. If you're making terroristic or violent threat, that's an entirely different thing. And these are, not only do we have this institution here, but it's become ingrained in our culture. You see a lot of the people on the right wing, I don't like the left or the right wing, I'm a political atheist, but you see a lot of the people on the right wing as reactionaries of what's been going on now. They're like, oh, you guys want to defund the police? Let's defund welfare. And I already talked about let's defund the Federal Reserve, the corporate welfare, and that first. But it's interesting because they've done such a good job of brainwashing us. The right wing actually loves the police. And the media is making, obviously, a big deal out of this. Are there things that are other big deals? Are there people that die? I mean, there was a woman that was kicked, her stomach was kicked in while she was pregnant. That didn't make the news, too. But what is going to happen, which is something that I think is something that not many people are talking about, is this is going to happen again. This is going to happen again, right? So there's going to be – it's just human nature. even if the police were living in a hypothetical world where they were all good and upheld the Constitution, which is not the case, the police are going to kill somebody again, and it's going to look bad again. And this is not an issue that we're going to solve easily. This is really not an issue that we're going to solve without a complex, nuanced conversation as a whole society where we all join in and we're not quick to call each other this or that or pick sides. But that's not going to happen anytime soon. I don't see that. And like I said, and I always will say, I'm an unflinching optimist, but also you got to be a realist too. This is going to happen again. And it's not like we're all going to sit we're not going to come together at a real United Nations somewhere in New York and as a people and say, okay, we have to do this, we have to do that, because it's just making the right wing more reactionary and the left wing, and we're kind of just reverting to these corners and it's getting more polarizing. So I see that as a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. What you were saying about defunding the police, though, I know that's been a movement that I've been reading about the last couple of days, defunding police departments across the country. That's just like defunding the U.S. military. They're not going to take any money from these guys, from the police departments. I've seen a police captain get on the on social media today, as a matter of fact, stating that if Black lives matter to you, you won't defund the police. I mean, now, to me, that's an oxymoron. How does if you defund the police, how does that mean that Black lives don't matter to you? I didn't get that. That was right over my head. But that's what he honestly believed.
You know
believe.
What? I heard something about that. I heard something about that too. But and you know, with defunding, I don't even like the police. I'm gonna be honest with you. V know that, and all the other people on the panel know that. I don't even like the police. But defunding the police doesn't seem like a really, really smart idea with the population of people that you have, because you're going to need somebody to keep some of these people in check.
Well, I would make an argument that defunding the police, I'm with the lefties on this side, but the lefties don't really mean it. They really don't mean it, because if they who knows? We'll see. But I'm with defunding all government. At every cost, any turn, and especially the police too, because the justification for police is that they're supposed to uphold our constitutional rights. First of all, there's no constitutional provision for cops at all in the Constitution, unless you make the argument that the 10th Amendment, states' rights, says that the states have the right to go ahead and provide for the general welfare and well-being. But I see that as redundant, because you have the Second Amendment, you have the right to self-defense already. And can a cop really protect your First Amendment? What is a cop going to do? Is he going to stand with you all the time to make sure you keep your freedom of speech? The cops aren't going to keep your Second Amendment, right? The cops have already murdered people for red flag, unconstitutional red flag laws. And even if there was a goons outside your house, calling the police is not going to help. They're just going to be there to clean the mess up. But I think it's actually crazy, because we have the police also, I mean, I can go on and on and on, but the majority of people in jail are minorities. They're non-violent drug offenders, 74% of them. And they're also enforcing this unconstitutional war on drugs. We tried prohibition. We did it constitutionally. It didn't work. We tried it again illegally. And the other justification for the police is, everybody will go crazy. Everybody will, you know, something will, these people will go crazy, and we need people to do something about that. But as I've said, I believe that the police are this, not only the standing army that our founding fathers referred to, but are far more violent and negatively impactful than they are in a positive way. Depending on where you are, 40 to 60% of murders ever get solved. The cops never really solve it. A lot of times you have the cops, obviously, like we talked about, not only impeding our constitutional rights, but also you see that the cops, it's also disproportionately, and it's not even just minority, it is mostly minority, but it's also on the wealth income scale. You'll have these people, you know, any Joe out in the streets that gets a little disorderly, does something, they'll prosecute them, but they're not, they don't arrest the pedophiles, they don't arrest the corrupt politicians. I have cops telling me, in front of me, they say, hey, I've got it on video saying they won't arrest another cop, even if he shot or raped somebody right in front of their face. So they've the thin blue gang, And they, I believe that they actually do more harm than they do good. I mean, they never find any of the stolen cars. They don't solve the majority of the murders. They're not going to be the ones to find out whose house got robbed. But if you give them a bunch of information about pedophiles and basically catch the pedophiles for them, they'll sit on that. They'll crap on your constitutional rights, shoot your dog, kill your black neighbor, and then sprinkle crack on it. So I think at this point, they're far more violent than yep. this section of the population. That
That's funny. At. I like that.
Well, see, the thing here, when you say protest and we in nonviolent revolution, I think the only way we really can make headway with that is to take control of the tax money. Okay? When we work, we should get the full amount of money in which we work for. Now, right. whatever period that shows up, you know, you get an email, you get paperwork in the mail, and it should have a checklist, you know, where you want your money sent, you know, education, you know, roads, you know, you should have the choice as to where your money goes to.
That's an excellent idea.
Well, taxation with representation is just a fallacy, isn't it? Where are we represented?
And we currently have no representation because we cannot decide. We cannot control where our money goes. So that's slavery, by the way. When you automatically have half your check stolen from you, that's theft and slavery.
Before you see it. You get, okay, they tax you before you even get your check. Then when you go to cash your check, they tax you. Then when you go to buy your food, they tax you. Then when you go to get the gas, they tax you. They tax you so many times before you even get home on payday.
And then they tax you on the roads. The roads are crap. They don't even keep up with the roads. And then they have the audacity to make you pay a toll after that. You know, you already pay for these roads. You already pay for the finance with the gas tax. The roads are terrible. But guess what? We're going to make you pay again, slave.
And they got billions of dollars to get the foreign interests, don't they? All the time.
Don't forget that registration.
Every year you got to pay.
Let's give, every day let's you, give some you more billions
pay
to
for
Israel.
Registration for a car that you bought a long time ago. You got to pay them every year for registration. This stuff is like, this stuff's getting out of hand.
You got on your own house, paying marriage tax.
Everything is
tax.
The word free means doesn't mean you ain't got to pay, does it?
And you make a great point. All these monies, all this money to foreign regimes, some of them that Rand Paul points out, even we've been talking about it long before Rand Paul was pointing this out. These people are burning our flag. We're giving them money. We're giving billions every year to Israel. But, you know, Flint, I went out to Flint. That place is still looking pretty crappy. Detroit, Michigan, that is not the prettiest city I've ever been to in my life.
Yeah.
And it's
I lived how we can in Flint for a year and a half. And I'll tell you, that's a prime example of why you do not defund police departments. Because then you got so few people to police the violence that the guns was doing, and you're hearing people ask for the National Guard to step in. That's the chess move. Problem.
Civilian militia. Everyone should join.
And I do see the point that
you have a right to be in a militia. What was he saying? I'm sorry about that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting excited because I'm finally back. But no, I see the point too, because I do see this as it's like Rahm Emanuel said, we never let a good crisis go to waste. And what he said, what I mean to say by that, we try to look for things we can do that we ordinarily wouldn't have the chance to do. So do I believe that, you know, and there's all conspiracies about George Floyd's death, and I've looked down a couple of those rabbit holes, but just taking the mainstream story for a second right now, It's obviously a travesty. We obviously have a problem with police brutality. And as you guys have just heard, I personally think we should abolish and defund the police. And that's I'm an anarcho-capitalist, and that's why I have the police. However, you guys do bring up a great point, which is this is destabilization. We have the current mayor of Chicago, who talking about calling for the New World Order at least twice that I've heard, and then there have been calls to bring the United Nations in, the National Guard in, and what actually happens as a result is the police get more militarized as well, too, and then we got these foreign troops on our soil, and that's a good point, too, because if we recently had the anniversary of Tiananmen Square, the pro-liberty and democracy protests, so-called, out in China, and at first, the troops that were sent in, they didn't want to shoot on the college students and the protesters because they knew them and they had worked with them and they're part of the community. But they got troops from thousands of miles away in the other part of China, told them a story about, hey, these people are doing this, that, and the third. And as you've already seen, a lot of these people are good at following orders. So I can see how this could definitely be a move for destabilization.
Well, you know, in Chicago, they actually, in the business district, boarded up the windows at the very beginning of the COVID crisis. So they knew riots were coming. They knew the plan, these corporations that own these big businesses. And I got to point out another thing. It's mighty suspicious that Hillary Clinton's going to get it now having to testify about her emails. And every time she goes to court about these emails, there's a huge crisis in the United States. And I think it's no coincidence that this is time to do this.
You're right. You've got to pay attention to the small details. You know, people be looking at the big picture, but you know, the information is in all them little small details. And that's how our government is playing us, because they throw it up in our face and we not reading the small print. You know, it's so much stuff can happen. There's no question about it that we mistrust our government. And what we must do now, we must figure out a way that we can move forward with or without our government. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that they're pro-government. There's some people that's not pro-government. That's where the battle lies. You know, nobody has chosen their side. And you can't be non-violent with violent people. That's like, you know, I respect everybody on the panel and everything, but you cannot be non-violent with violent people, because that's not like math. That's not science. You know, if a lion is chasing a deer, the deer don't turn around and try to hug the lion. The deer takes off. You know, so, you know, we must, especially anybody that has children, you must really look at what's going on here now. It can get a lot worse. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know from here it could get a lot worse.
But what you were saying about the nonviolence, though, you know, Gandhi, he got the British Empire out of India with nonviolence, and Martin Luther King, he did so many things for African Americans in this country nonviolently. So I don't know if I agree.
That's right in their wallets, though.
But even if a bear
in their wallets,
if a bear is chasing you, if you run, he'll pursue you. But they say if you lay down and act like you're dead, then the bear more than likely won't harm you. So maybe sometimes
that's not true. I'm from New Mexico. That's not true. Do not, if a bear is next to you, do not lay down.
No, don't lay down. They keep running.
No, I don't know about keep running, but don't lay down.
Start praying.
Yeah, I feel you though, bro. When I say the non-violent, I don't mean like get your guns. Let's go out on the street and let's start killing everybody. No. I mean, just be prepared to defend yourself if some violence is coming at you, you know, because, you know, a prayer ain't a person swinging a bat at you and you praying for him not to hit you. He's going to knock you out.
You got your hit, yeah. We got to go to commercial.
If you have a bat.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show Redfield Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell five.
Yes. You're back. We're doing the after show here. And very interesting discussions here. Yes, we the people need to take back control. And there are various ways we can do this, but it's going to take uniting as a community. Getting together, food banks, volunteering and basically offering services up, whatever your profession is, bartering. We need to take as much of our independence from the system back as we can. We really, really need to. I know technology is an issue. I know we are just lost without our devices, with our social networks, without our YouTubes, what have you. But we really have to get back to basics. And the less we have to be controlled by, the better. I don't know. That's what
Absolutely. I know during this crisis on my videos I did for people, I asked everybody to adopt somebody in your neighborhood. That I picked an elderly person across the street because they're having difficulty getting to the stores, or when they get there, stuff is wiped out. And make sure they're okay. If everybody adopts one person in their neighborhood, the world is going to be a better place. And it shows them there's still trust in the world and stuff. So I feed my neighbor. I make sure he has fresh bread and such. And he has a vegetable garden. I can help work, and later I'll get fresh veg out of it. You know, there's do what you can to be the change, because that defies the system as well. The system wants you dependent upon it for all the help you get. But if we can help each other, the world will change in small ways. And as far as, you know, the violence is concerned, I don't advocate going out, like Theo said, and just going, you know, gung-ho. But we do have to self-defend. Self-defense is what we need. We definitely need to do. We are under attack physically, mentally, emotionally. We have got to fight this back in any way we can.
Yes.
You know, even helping each other out, like you said, a food bank, information tree, you suggested on another show. All these things defy the system.
And you know, I got two pictures. I got two nice pictures of Martin Luther King in my house, and my wife loves him and my family love him. But we together as a unit, we never forget. Even though he was nonviolent, and a lot of people believed in him, they still used violence and they killed him. So, you know, I mean, when I talk about the people nonviolent, Martin Luther King, he did that, and this society repaid him the way they wasn't supposed to repay him for him not being violent, for all the violence that was recorded, that we seen that was done to him. So with that, I use that as an example that nonviolent is not really working. You don't have to be violent. Just be prepared if violence is coming your way, because 9 times out of 10, when you're trying to make progress and the people that you're trying to make progress against is benefiting off you not progressing, there's going to be some violence involved, because you're taking away from their dinner plate and their table by you wanting not to be oppressed no more. So you have to understand what this is. You know, we playing chess, not checkers. This is a balance. This is, you know, when I was growing up, I thought it was going to be easy. I thought, oh, I'd just go to work, mind my business, and everything would be okay. Boy, did I find out that is absolutely not true.
They sell you the American dream. They give you the American scream instead, don't they?
Right.
Well, it's the fact that, you know, power is never surrendered peacefully. You know, it's either taken or, you know, people will change
their
viewpoints because it's in their best interest. But power is never just surrendered like that, especially from the people that's holding it. They're not going to give it up peacefully. It's going to have to be taken, wrested from their it. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. You have to take the dying hands. But just like you were stating, though, you have to be prepared to defend yourselves and your family and your loved ones. But, you know, just like they had Martin Luther King during the 60s, they also had a Malcolm X. And he was like, by any means necessary. So it's going to take a two-pronged approach to initiate effective change in this country. It's going to have to – we're going to need a Malcolm, but we're going to need a Martin also. We got to go
– You're right. We're going to need all those sects. We're going to need the ones that know how to work on the computers. We're going to need the ones that know how to reach people. We're going to need the people that know how to grow their own food. We're going to need the people that this is a collective for what we want for everybody that's on this panel. Cause I hear what we all want, the same thing. It's going to have to be a collective, cause it's going to, you know, every little group has its little specialty. And then when they come together, they create their own community. You know, that's basically what happened right now with America when it came from where they came from and started their little colonies. You know, people put their little things together, you know, their little specialty together. Next thing you know, here we are. Here we are here. You know, it's the same thing. You know, people just got to learn to work together. And, you know, okay, I know it's hard.
We need to hit the phones here. Let's go with Wisconsin. Mer?
Hi.
Go ahead, call.
How are you?
Doing fine. You have a question or comment for us?
Yeah, I was glad to hear Will come back. I was wondering where he was because I had something to say about our overlords and about one of his videos where he's chasing down Bloomberg about Epstein, and they're both Jews, and he's saying, "Wait, Anglo-Saxon, excuse me? We don't print the money, okay? And if you own the money, you own the propaganda." Martin Luther King's handler and speechwriter was Stanley David Levison, commie Jew. Okay, Gandhi was a pedophile. There was only one perfect that walked the earth, but that's all right. But we are spirits first and foremost. This is spiritual warfare, and we have to be strong in each our own selves. Okay? But we have to recognize that there is this triangular thing. Okay? It's not the Jews pit everyone against each other. Okay, every ethnic group against each other. And Republic Broadcasting had it posted there on their site, but Walter White in the 70s interviewed a man named Harold Wallace Rosenthal, The Hidden Tyranny. And if you look that up, you'll find it somewhere. There weren't any recordings allowed to be kept. There's a mechanical voice on YouTube. But you can read it many different places. And I've looked through it so many times, it just comes back to me every time, everything he said. And we're basically all Jews now. Money is more important than morality. That's what it comes down to. But a lot of it is lying, too. Now, I don't know if you saw about this tall, older, white dude that got knocked down on his head, right? Well, there's a whole lot more to that. He was stealing the frequencies from their mics. You can see him fanning his phone over the mic and then over the belt of the other one. And then he had a packet of moulage. Wasn't even real blood. So there's so many angles to this, but it all boils down to control. You know, the money and the control. And then what do you have when you have this small minority in charge? There's probably only about 5 or 10%, like Catherine Austin Fitz says. She just interviewed Corbett recently, James Corbett, and he did a thing, a four-part thing on Gates, which is well worth seeing, too. But they have no empathy. See? And it makes them stupid, okay? Because they're dependent on machines. And this is a world of life. Machines are against life. They might be able to automate everything, but they'll end up not working. It won't work. Because it's anti-life. I mean, we see that right with the medicine, right? Of course, that's another angle, the pharma, the sorcery. Antibiotics, it's against life. No, you need probiotics to strengthen your biodome. Okay, your biodome. So, anyway, main thing I'm trying to say here is, people, it's you talk about the money going to Israel, and yeah, that's a start, but what else goes to Israel besides the money? JINSA, JINSA.org, they take the higher-ups in the police force and educate them there and bring them back here and make sure none of the police force has a very high IQ, and then they teach them to treat us like Palestinians. Now, all this stuff with Floyd, it's bull, okay? Same thing with the virus, bull. Viruses aren't anything. This is... And they'll have a phase three, and they'll try to something else. But you see now, with them letting this protest, supposedly, turn into riots and go berserk, well, guess what? Now Trump can have his rallies again, and that's morale building. They don't want that. Whatever you think of him, it is morale building. And this is what we need, okay? But we have to also remember we're individuals. There is no we, collectively, actually. We have to act individually, And we were saying about prayer with a baseball bat about to hit, and you're going to get hit anyway. We need to be praying all along without ceasing, because we are spirits first. And you'll make other choices. You might not end up at the other end of a baseball bat like Scarborough's intern. Okay, get me? Yeah, he had a souvenir bat in his office, okay, that went with him. All right? Well, Wayne Madsen, good investigator, he brought all that out, but now he's got Trump derangement syndrome, so that's the other spectrum. See, with this Talmudia, look what they, I mean, Obama was horrible, but we didn't know it because they made him look good, right? As long as he did what he was supposed to do. And right now, he is sitting as the shadow president, the shadow government president, put in office on January 5th, 2017. All of these people are in on it. But there is such a thing as conspiracy law that can net all of them. And it takes time, like the Gordian knot. You have to untie it slowly and backwards. You know, nothing will be perfect, and there is no going back. But we can make it better, each of us. But do we have to realize the truth? Don't put Martin Luther King or any man up as a god. There's only God, Jesus Christ and God. And whether you like that or not, well, you know, that's your choice too. But this is world is made up of our choices. So, anyhow, it was good to hear you back, Will. I really...
You made an excellent point with stating that this is a spiritual battle. It's a battle against good against evil. And, you know, people, they'll fall in their slot. You know, if you're good, you'll fall on the side of good and righteousness. And if you're not, you won't. But, yeah, there's a lot of evil in this world. And like you said, we're making our choices independently. You know, you made your choice to get up in the morning, go out, make your coffee, you go left, you go right. But collectively, we can affect change in society. It's going to take, yes, everyone moving in the same direction with a common goal and a common purpose. And
see, we have to take this down all the way down past this usury system, because all it does is promote pathocracy, that is psychopaths, and onerology, which is evil. And that's what we're being ruled by. There's a book, Political Onerology. This is the thing. We have to take the system all the way down. It has to come down. Okay, we know the empire has to come down, and that's being done on the outside. I mean, D.C. is one of three city-states. It's the military one. And of course, London is the banking one, and the Vatican is supposedly the spiritual one. But we know that spirituality is an independent thing. You know, it is what unites all of us, too, at the same time. But the golden rule, you know, to love each other as you love yourself. We kind of forget that last part about loving yourself. Love thyself. If you love yourself, what are you going to do? You're going to, you know, let yourself not take care of yourself? You know, like you're your own baby, right? And from there, it goes out to everyone else. And I heard Lark on there.
Some
about
people love themselves a bit too much, and they think they're above everybody else.
No. Right. That's
this
a different kind of love.
Cheek attitude is, that's another has run kind its of course. Love.
That's right. That's psychopathy. Love. That's not love.
It's still a love of self over others, you know. And I hear about a Bible religion preached to me by people with gold rings on their hand, telling me to live me, you know, and to give to the poor. And meanwhile, then they get in their Rolls Royce and drive off.
You know, I'm not telling anyone what to do. I'm just saying, like you were saying, that spirituality, you know, we are spirits first and foremost, and that is what we'll take with us. But really, to love yourself like you love your neighbors, it's a whole different thing. Now, and you were talking about, too, getting down past this usury system, how barter and helping each other in groups and things. Yeah. And even just giving. You know, like I live really frugal and simple and humble up here. and so it affords me an opportunity to give away. And, you know, I don't even remember things I give away. But it's such a good feeling to be able to do it. But then on the other hand, you need to know, too, to be humble, that if you need something and someone wants to give it to you, be grateful. You know, that's coming from a higher place. But that's the ultimate, not even barter, but just giving, without thought of retribution, without thought of reparations. No one's due reparations.
Yeah, the good feeling you get from helping others should be payment enough.
Right.
And yeah. I say that to people a lot because they guess, why do I do this for somebody? I don't have any gain. It's just, it makes me feel good to do this. I think that I'm also, one of my things on this planet is to do, is to be giving and loving, to give the universe a really good experience through my eyes of what life is.
Yeah, I like that. That's good. And I gave you this website before. Dontell Jackson is the man's name, and it's We Thought They Were White. And it's .tumblr.com. Had been on Weebly, but if you put in We Thought They Were White, you start to get a really good history. You know, it's always been the Jews, and then they cover for themselves. Like Lopez, you wouldn't think that's Jewish, but yeah, he was the largest shipping magnate. But what was his freight? Human beings. You know, so.
Well, Jesus was Jewish, then. Isn't the Bible a good cover story for that? That was just to throw that out there.
Well, no, he wasn't actually, but you'd have to really dig into
that
to find out. No, he wasn't.
Well, then he wasn't a Christian because they didn't have that Nazarene, but his religion was Judaism.
This is the confusion. Whether Jewishness is a race or a religion. And there are some devout.
I just get tired to see if people blame a religion for the attitude of it. Inhumane people. Every religion that blames each other. I'm neutral about that. I go after that all
Stephen
the time.
Wise? Rabbi Stephen Wise says communism is Judaism. I guess he ought to know.
To read it back, the religion of the person that gave Marx his ideas was definitely a Judaism follower. That can't be denied, but to equate a race with a religion is like saying,
well said, fam.
I don't know, there's so many different people
with
different religious views, but we all bleed red. When you get hit with that baton at a rally, your religion got nothing to do with it. You're going to bleed as red as the person next to you. The color of his skin or your creed, it don't matter. We all bleed red.
You have to know, too, that when... If you give in and go to riots and these type of things, you're not yourself. Then it's a demonocracy or democracy. There's a hive mind there that is demon.
Yeah, but it's the difference between rioting and protesting. And it's the difference between protesters
Amen.
And looters.
Yep.
If you arm yourself to go to a protest, you're really wanting a rumble.
But there again, the same class has these infiltrators.
Yes.
And it's been this way all through time. If you look in the Bible at Acts 24, at the end of the chapter, Drusilla, the Jewess, was the wife of Felix who was listening to Paul, but he couldn't let him go because the Jews wanted money. And from there, they went on to have the double books in Florence that emptied that place out. Because whenever you have usury and double books, you end up having sodomy, too. So you have all kind of amoral behavior, and it doesn't last.
Well, protesting is as different from rioting as spirituality is as different from religion. You know, you can be a spiritual person and not abide by any of the world's religion. You can just have a belief in God, a belief in goodness, belief in helping one another, like you were stating previously, like Rob was saying about, just giving to others. Without any thought of, recompense. So,
right, just being a decent person. Just being a decent person.
We all have a moral compass inside of us that's supposed to steer us in the direction of what's right and what's just and what's good. It's the people that choose not to follow that path. They're the ones that are leaning towards the side of evil.
But for the last few minutes of the show here, we have Christopher Wolf. Holding the line. Let's get him on.
Hey, hello. Much love and respect to everybody. What up, Chris?
Hey, Christopher.
How's it going? All right. What's the end game here? Do they understand what is really going on the streets, or it doesn't sound like they really understand what's really happening? I don't think they understand.
You're right.
It's all about the race and stuff. It really ain't about the race. It's not about the police brutality. It's about the whole system. And not just, you know, what you think it is. It's like we are going up against the government, and the government is going to have to bow down to whatever we ask them. And if they don't, then I'll say revolution for real. I mean, come on.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
It's time to put the we the people back in the we the people.
Revolution is what they want.
Yeah. We the people. It's we the people. Not what the government wants. Not what the news people are telling you. News people, all of a sudden, everyone's now a protester.
Right. And we've been out there for years.
You can look at it on the news. Everyone on the news, that's all they talk about. Well, how are they going to change this? And what are they going to do? It's not about what they're saying.
Of course it isn't.
Yeah, if they're showing a protest on mainstream media, there's a Hegelian dialectic involved. A problem, reaction, solution.
I don't know if you people can hear me, but one thing that you need to do that might help open people's minds, say mainstream media to get them really thinking. Always say mainstream. Right. I think Talmudstream. But if you say
I say we open our own news station ourselves and do our own news and let them know what the hell is going on, because they're sure not getting it.
What's going on right here? Yeah. All these different shows where we get to talk and speak our mind and share with each other. This is very important, because this is what we have now and we're using it.
Right. And I just posted a creepy Joe Biden picture. I mean, come on. America wants Joe Biden as a president. You might as well ask fucking Fred Flintstone to be the president.
He doesn't deserve a spark of thought.
I sure would like to be the president.
And all of a sudden now he's in the marches too. I tell you what, if he was in the march with me, I would push him down. Like they did to the old guy. And on the news, they showed the old 70-year-old in Denver, wherever he was at, push his ass down on the ground. Police pushed him down. That'd be me pushing Joe Biden down if he was next to me.
No, see, that's what I was telling you about. That wasn't what it seemed. See, there's all these different things going on. But that old guy...
How do they even let Joe Biden walk around with us? It's crazy. I'm not down with that.
Can I leave you with one word, people? Something that you might research the word Nazi and see where that came from. It came from a Jew publicist. We were lied to about Germany. They were usury free. Now,
all right. We come to the end of the show. Thank you, Merv. Guys, thank you for a great show. We'll catch you tomorrow.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.